We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pregnant ladies and little kids better get the hell out of the way because I am running. I'm like Forrest Gump, dude. I am running. So the Titanic was the biggest ship on the ocean, but that didn't mean it was unsinkable.
Okay.
I want you each to use ombudsman in a sentence next week.
I got one for you. My name is Kevin, the official ombudsman of the Just Press Play podcast. You like apples?
Welcome into another edition of the Just Press Play podcast. Kevin here, joined by Pops and Uncle Tony. What's going on, fellas?
Hey, boys. What's up?
I want to start off with, sometimes we bury this and sometimes we acknowledge right off the top, but we know the parlay once again did not win. I don't know if we, how close we were to winning, Uncle Tony.
I'm telling
you. But I know one team that, didn't win. And it's the team that's on my, they're circled, they're on my list. They will not be bet again the rest of this season. And that is the Atlanta Falcons. And Tony, we can go ahead and get into Bijan Robinson if you want, but just, I'm done with them. I'm done with Arthur Smith. I'm done with the Falcons. They lost to Joshua Dobbs, who didn't even know who he was throwing to. And let me go ahead and pause and say, Mom, congratulations on the win. Your Vikings are frisky. They might be in the playoffs, but the Falcons, get out of here. You no longer can be taken serious. You're at the kiddie table the rest of the year, in my eyes.
Can I ask a question on that? Because I didn't get to watch much of that game. What I did see, it looks like Dobbs did play up way out of line for just a little bit I saw. Or did Atlanta play that
yes
shitty?
And no. I mean, he played good enough to win, but Atlanta had their opportunities and just blew it. Mm. And Dobbs played well. Don't get me wrong. Dobbs played extremely well considering – he had been in the building for like 2 days and
he had never taken a snap from the center.
He had to, before he comes in, him and the offensive line are practicing his cadence because they didn't even know his cadence. And then in the huddle, he's having to ask Jordan Addison, okay, what route are you doing here? Okay, you're doing it. You're doing a post. Okay, cool. And then Hawkinson, what an out. Okay, cool. Like he doesn't even know what they're playing backyard football. So the fact that he played as well as he did, Dad, yes. Great game by him, but it's not like he wasn't CJ Stroud just lighting it up all over the place. Yeah. But Tony, do you have any, I mean, I know you, we could do 45 minutes on the Atlanta Falcons if we wanted to, but.
That's what I have to say about the Falcons right there. I just can't, it's so frustrating. It's so frustrating. And I just, you can't, this guy, Bijan Robinson, is the best athlete in the NFL. Arthur, if you're listening, he's the best athlete in the NFL. Would you use the guy? He should be getting 25, 30 carries a game. Use him.
Quick disclaimer, well, Tony has a lot of stock in Bijan Robinson. I'm just going to let you all know out there in listener land. But I don't disagree with anything you just said, Tony. I will say that.
Well, and I think we discussed this before, but it's not even about like your fantasy football team at this point. It's just –
he gives you the best chance to win.
The seventh overall pick. What? And yeah. Like so, the Falcons forced a fumble and returned it to the Vikings 1 yard line at one point in the game. Here's the next four plays: first and goal, false start. First and goal, a pass to Jonnu Smith. Second and goal, end around to Jonnu Smith. But mind you, that's the second tight end behind Kyle Pitts, who they also drafted in the top 10. And then third and goal, a handoff to Tyler Allgeier. Bijan never even touched the field. Not didn't get a touch. Didn't get on the field. So like. I'm okay with you not using him, but why draft? If you like Allgeier, why did you draft him? Like you could have got a lineman or a defensive player or whatever. You're just wasting. It's just dumb organizationally to do what they're doing.
Yeah, it's just dumb.
And it's not like, and Tony can tell you, it's not like when he has gotten the ball, he's looked like, oh man, this guy, we might have wasted the pick. Like when he's gotten the ball, you're like, oh, we really might have something.
Yeah, he might be good.
He's averaging 5 yards a touch.
I think that's good.
5 yards.
I think that's pretty good, Tony. Yeah.
That's pretty good. Give it to him 3 times in a row. Guess what? It's second down and 5, motherfucker.
All right. So the next game to talk about, and there's a lot of ways we can discuss it. I know I was watching this with Pops, and he was very disappointed at the end because it was what he did not want to see with the Dallas Cowboys. But 28-23, Dallas Cowboys win. Uncle Tony, I'll let you go first. Thoughts?
So this is one I watched on my phone because we were in New Orleans at the Saints game, but walking around. But the bottom line is this. The Cowboys played well enough to win.
They did.
All right? The thing about it is the Cowboys still cannot rise to the occasion. You've got to overcome adversity in the NFL. It's going to happen. The dude was short of the goal line. He was interfered with. It doesn't matter. It's fourth. You need to make a quarter of a yard. Make a quarter of a yard and get over it. Get over it. They can't rise to the occasion.
But in the same token.
Here it comes
the butt.
we start to justify it. That's what really drives me nuts. Anyway. Go ahead,
no,
Kev.
You're right. But then, like, you can look at the game and go, the Eagles might be the best team in football or one of the top three teams in football, and they played right there with them. They held that pass rush from doing much until the very end. Dak Prescott played well. CeeDee Lamb looked unguardable. But, I don't know. And where it's really frustrating, and it's what you said, and it's what Pops before the game, he just said he didn't want to see stuff like this, and they get – somehow they found a miraculous way to get it first and goal. And like the next three plays are false start, delay a game, sack, incompletion. All of a sudden you're going fourth and goal from the 30 or whatever it was. You went from first and goal at the 5. And at that point I'm like, they got 4 downs to get 5 yards. Like chances are pretty good. And then they wouldn't even be in the situation if, like Tony's saying, you know where you're at. You catch the ball and like you run your route into the end zone, not at the half yard line. And I'm not even that mad. Like, it kind of happens, I guess. But then Dak stepping out, like, it's just like, how do they find new ways to lose a game every single week? It's almost unfathomable.
Ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
I don't know what to say to that. Yeah, they found a new way to lose. And it's – in teams that find ways to lose, it gets to be contagious. And they keep on finding ways to lose. But they were right there with Philly. They gave them all they wanted. There was no doubt there was interference on the tight end. There's no question. And Dak, anyway, I'm just repeating what y'all said. But they did play good football against perhaps the best team in the NFL.
So yeah. they're going to be a play. That's the thing is they're still, I still don't know how good they are. Like they did play well against the Eagles. They're going to be a playoff team, the Cowboys I'm talking about. And it's going to be, they're probably going to win the wild card round and have to beat another, they're just going to have to beat one of the good teams, and we'll see if maybe they can find a way to do it come playoff time. But Tony, it sounds like you're not going to trust it. You don't trust it until you see it.
Unless they get somehow, the rule is that you get to play the Giants in the first round of the playoffs, then no, I don't know.
Yeah, because if they play Arizona, I mean, you know.
No, let's not play Arizona.
a team that we know is a contender, we don't have to worry about them, but maybe the team that played could be a fraud. But I want to talk about that Chiefs-Dolphins game. Now, it was an early game. It was an 8 a.m. kickoff because it was played over in Germany, I believe.
Frankfurt, Germany.
Did the Dolphins' offense not look good, Tony, or did the Chiefs' defense look really good?
I thought the Chiefs' defense looked really good. And now, the offense seemed to outkick. And so you just never know those European games. And we talked about this a little bit last week. The Chiefs went late. The Dolphins went early, and when we saw the Jaguars do that, it was the opposite effect, right, with the Bills. But the Chiefs look to be the team, and their defense is just playing really well. I don't know.
Mahomes said it's the best defense he's ever played with, and the best defense in football. Yeah. I mean, of course he's going to say that, but, I mean, Popsy might be right.
Well, here's what I want to say to that game. So I looked up some of the stats. So total yards. Miami 292, Kansas City 267. Passing yards, Miami 175, Kansas City 174. Rushing yards, Miami 117, Kansas City 93. Yards per play, Miami 5 yards per play, Kansas City 4.8. Time of possession, 30-24 for Miami, 29-36 for Kansas City. I didn't say the score. Who won that game?
Is it, reading all those, you make me think the Dolphins.
You would think, right? So I'm the Dolphins were right in it. They were in the game, you know?
Except for a defensive touchdown.
But the same way the Cowboys find a way to lose games, Mahomes and the Chiefs find a way to win games.
Yes, yes, yes. They're the anti-Cowboys.
Exactly.
Yes.
And you kind of just feel like towards the end, you're like, even like they were up in this one, but even when they're kind of down, like that, the game they lost to the Broncos, you kind of, before Mecole Hardman fumbled that snap 2 weeks or fumbled that punt 2 weeks ago, you're kind of like, they're only down 8. I mean, they're going to find a way to mess around and win. Like they're just, it's the same way with Tom Brady. You're just kind of like, they'll find a way. I don't know how they're going to do it, but.
Yeah.
Whereas the Cowboys, when we're watching that one, we're like, what could happen? I mean, they're going to step out of bounds before the 2 point, before he crosses the end zone or whatever, you know?
Yeah. I'm interested to see what happens with the game this Sunday that's in Frankfurt. I think it's at the same stadium. I think
that's, you're interested in that one, the Patriots and Colts?
No, I'm wondering if we're going to see the low score again because there were some things said about the turf.
Well, so did y'all hear
the turf there in Frankfurt?
It's turf slash grass. It's like, a combo. Right. I don't know how that works, but
And so I would tell you that I bet the Dolphins don't like that very much because they really did not seem to be the fastest team, and they're the fastest team in the NFL from beginning to end, and they were not Saturday or Sunday. They were not, and so I wonder if we'll get to if we'll hear about the turf issues because we heard that a little bit when folks were playing in Mexico City. And I think there's a Mexico City game coming at some point in time this year, but that turf really slowed everybody down. And I'm kind of wondering, we'll see if that happens again this
week. You know, they always say that, right? But if turf, and I know that's been a thing, they let turf grow a little bit to slow a fast team down. And I get that, but doesn't it slow the slow team down the same amount as it slows the fast team down?
But yeah, but I think what Tony's saying is especially for the Dolphins, their whole game plan.
Their game is built on speed.
Speed and timing specifically, too, and when that timing changes a little.
The timing changes. That's fair. Okay.
Well, this is what I mean by the cuts, right? The quickness. So if you're the fast guy to the corner, you win, but they can't cut because you got to slow down to cut so the slower team catches up to you. If you can cut at a fast as rate as you're running, that's what makes you fast in football. And I think they were having trouble with that because there was a few things that it was really long grass for football. It may be perfect for soccer, but it was not good for football. And I'm wondering if – I just – like I said, I want to hear about it. Maybe the IT department could look at that this week.
Well, I think I remember hearing something leading up to the game where they said that now the stadiums, the international stadiums, have to have – there's some requirements they have to meet.
Well, that's why they have this new turf slash grass because the NFL is saying we – like you have – NFL basically was like, yeah, I know we're only playing 2 games a year here, but your turf has to be up to our standard, another game, and we kind of mentioned for a second, and I think it's really, I was watching this game with Pops, and just over and over again, CJ Stroud for the Texans, legit, I don't know where he stands in current quarterbacks, but by far the best rookie quarterback, and I mean, it looks like the Texans got their guy for the next 10 to 15 years. I mean, 470 yards, 5 touchdowns, I think both rookie records. I know the yards is a rookie
record. Did he do that last week? Did he do that?
That was last week against the Buccaneers. And that final drive was like under a minute left or something. And it wasn't like the Cowboys where it was 2 pass interference calls to kind of get down the field. He was just completing dimes to get down the field. And it was the Buccaneers, so it wasn't like – I'm not saying he did it against amazing talent, but just for a rookie to do that, Tony, I was thoroughly impressed with C.J. Stroud.
Yeah, all I got to see was highlights on this because I look back. It set multiple records, I think, for rookies. 5 touchdowns, 474 yards.
30 to 42.
30 to 42.
It set him on pace to reach some rookie records that we're talking about, like Manning, those kind of guys for rookie Marino. I think he may be in line for a Marino rookie record. I can't remember, but it is amazing. And I'm not saying that Bryce Young is going to turn into Ryan Leaf, but we may be looking at that kind of comparison.
Well, because Bryce Young against a Colts team that's not just amazing through three interceptions, two of those pick sixes, and again, they lost 27-13. You don't throw those two pick sixes, and that's a one-point game.
You could have had C.J. Stroud, just like you could have had a man.
And Bryce Young, it's hard to say Bryce Young's done and he's not going to be good at all. No. But it's
they didn't take Leaf before Manning, did they? They took Manning first.
I thought they did.
I thought Manning was the number one pick and Leaf was two that year.
I thought they had to trade him because that was the deal because they had to trade.
I think you're thinking Eli had to get traded.
Yeah, Eli.
Peyton was taken first overall, and Ryan Leaf was two.
Yeah, yeah.
Who's taken behind Ryan Leaf?
Andre Wadsworth, defensive end, Florida State, and then Charles Woodson.
Maybe I should retract that comparison. I apologize.
But either way, I think that the thought there is just that the Colts were really torn between Leaf and Manning, in the same way we were torn between Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud, and it kind of, at least to this point, very early on, but it looks like Stroud's overwhelmingly better. And he just seems to carry himself, not like a rookie.
Looks comfortable. Yeah, he looks good.
And he's not like gunslinging for those 400 yards. It's like Pop said, 30 for 42. It's on one interception on the year. So he's moving it up and down the field, but also taking care of the ball, which is what rookies sometimes don't do as well.
Yeah. Brought Tank Dell back to life. He sure did.
Yeah. Tony, who's the MVP right now?
Lamar Jackson.
You think so? I mean, I was curious. I was thinking the same, and I looked. He didn't.
He didn't have the greatest game last week.
And his game was 187 yards, and he ran for, I think, 40 or 50.
His completion percentage was high, though.
Close to 100 yards. Rushing? Like 80-something rushing.
Okay.
That'll be the kick. So if he gets over 800 yards rushing and 3,000 yards passing, something like that, MVP. And they keep winning.
The reason I think you're right on Lamar, even though that wasn't just a crazy game, maybe Jalen Hurts is next. I mean, Mahomes isn't having a great year, but Mahomes is always around there. Burrow, if they can keep going, I just think it's wide open.
Does it have to be a quarterback? I mean,
I think it's Christian McCaffrey.
It's just hard in the past.
I want to throw A.J. Brown in the conversation.
You could.
A.J. Brown has been playing out of his mind. And just let me mention right quick. Do you know? So Tyreek Hill, all they're talking about is Tyreek Hill's got 1,076 yards. You know how much A.J. Brown has?
He just crossed 1,000.
1,005. He's catching 15 yards per reception so far, where Tyreek Hill is 15.6. I'm saying, A.J. Brown deserves to be in that conversation, as does Tyreek Hill.
No doubt.
You just don't typically see the receiver get it because usually the quarterback's got even better, But in both of those cases, Tua and Jalen Hurts have good stats, but they're not like crazy stats, whereas Tyreek Hill and A.J. Brown are both doing like on pace for close to 2,000 yards receiving, which is insane. I think Calvin has the record, I think, at like
1962 or something like that. It was a lot, but
how serious are they? Are the Ravens? Did they move up, Tony, as the number one team in the AFC in your eyes? Or because I mean, the Chiefs seem like they haven't figured out, but like they still got Patrick Mahomes and that defense looks good.
So let's put it this way: the Chiefs beat a top five team
this past weekend.
Baltimore destroyed a not. Top five.
I mean, the Seahawks were 5-2 coming in, and we were kind of saying they might be. But we also said last week this will tell us a lot about are the Seahawks kind of like the Cowboys? Like, are they a 5-win team, but they're just winning the games they should, or are they good? And this kind of told me, okay, they're down there a tier. They're not in that top five.
I think Baltimore. I mean, I think Kansas City's. Well, I had Baltimore number one. I think it's Baltimore, Kansas City still. So if the Chiefs defense continues to improve and play like that, that's the reason I had Baltimore number one. Kansas City certainly has a more balanced offense than Baltimore, although Baltimore is running the ball.
Well, and now we got to figure out
the ball over everybody.
We got to figure out, is that Keaton Mitchell guy
he had
real
a game.
Or not? Because he went 9 carries for 140 yards, so basically 15 yards a pop.
Yeah, I didn't see any of that game. Did Justice Hill get hurt or something?
No, he had 13 carries for 40 yards. They just, in the second half, I think they were winning by so much, they We're like, and you know, they've had so much running back issues. They're like, let's just put in the guy we just lifted off practice squad. And they might have messed around and found someone. Now, he might have just got garbage time yards, but he looked explosive. He looked good. And that's the thing with their running offense, with how dangerous Lamar is. You almost don't have to have that great running back because they're just – the defense is so worried about Lamar pulling it that you just almost have to have an adequate – because I still don't think Gus Edwards is a great running back, but he's a good red zone – or a good goal line carry. And, I mean, he ended up with five – he averaged 10 yards a carry this past – he had five carries and two touchdowns. So, all he does is just score touchdowns.
Yeah. It was almost as if, hey, we're going to play well enough just to get through this, and then we're going to – we'll give it to everybody else. And Seattle just laid down. They just flat laid down.
Yeah. I'm worried. It kind of looks like Geno last year's year could have been a little bit
of a fluke, exception, which, not the rule.
Yeah.
There's rumors right now that Drew Lock is going to be ready. If Geno has another first half like he did this last couple of games, that Drew Lock will play the second
half. Well, and that extension they gave him this offseason, it did give him more money, but it wasn't the like Deshaun Watson type extent. Like it was kind of very similar from what I've read. I don't know if you remember the Donovan McNabb extension when he went to the Redskins, where it looked good, but then it was actually we could cut him at the end of this year, and none of that money's guaranteed. So like, it looked like a good deal, but it also told me Seattle's not going, oh, we got our franchise guy here. Like we got a guy who's good right now, and maybe that's why, because he hasn't looked good so far. But they got five wins. They could turn that around. Let's see, what's another game that caught your eye this weekend, Pops?
Well, you know, here's something that's catching my eye now. Can y'all tell me, out of the top rushing people in the league, can you tell me who number two is?
Just yards? Rushing yards?
Yeah, rushing yards. Total rushing yards. The number two guy, you'll guess.
Player.
Player.
Is Achane there just because he ran that much?
Not Achane. I don't think you're going to get it. I wouldn't have got it for sure.
Is it McCaffrey and then
McCaffrey's one.
And then shoot.
Is it Swift? DeAndre Swift?
He's three, which I was pretty impressed with. He's three.
Mostert?
Mostert is four.
So he's right. This is going to be tough.
Walker?
Nope.
At Seattle?
Nope. I'll tell you, Derrick Henry is five.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to have one more guess. Let's see.
AFC Central? I believe that's
AFC Central.
I believe that's the South, conference.
Maybe? ETN. It's probably ETN. Golly. Who is it? Tell us.
Zach Moss.
Oh, yeah.
I could have bet you $100 on that.
We would have kept guessing, I think, for a good – we might have got there after about 25 minutes, but that's not good podcasting.
That's nuts, isn't it? I mean – that is nuts.
Zach Moss, yeah. It is
nuts. Wow. That's pretty impressive.
And they just paid Jonathan Taylor. It's like Zach Moss is solid. Like they might have the
– Well, while we're talking about stats leaders, I just want to say Patrick Mahomes is number three in the league. Two is Sam Howell. I could have done the same thing on quarterbacks and gotten you with that one. But number three is Patrick Mahomes, and I do think that's impressive with – I mean, he's got Tyler Taylor, whatever, dude.
Taylor Kelce.
He's got Taylor Kelce.
Does Lyft turn into a Swifty?
Yeah. I mean, he's a pretty good quarterback. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
The other game that kind of caught my eye, I mean, it ended up being a 6-point game, but part of me is saying I'm a little worried about the Bills, who are currently not in the playoffs. If it ended right now, they would miss the playoffs. But Joe Burrow and the Bengals look like the team that made the AFC Championship right now. They look all, and we said this last week, but even more, like they look all the way back, Tony.
Yeah.
I mean, Burrow looks like MVP Burrow. Mixon looked pretty decent. Higgins had a good game this week. That offense has a lot of weapons. And then that defense, not a ton of names you recognize. I mean, Trey Hendrickson's good. They have some names, but they just get it done. And like I said, they only won by six, but watching that game on Sunday night, I never thought, ooh, the Bills might win this. And then at the end, I was like, oh, crap. They're only down six. This feels like the Bengals are dominating this game. I think the Bengals, if I had to choose a team right now to win the AFC, if I had to put money on one team, I think I would put the money on the Bengals.
Wow. Wow.
I just think I trust the Chiefs would be up there, But I don't know for sure if they'll figure out all the receivers. Where the Bengals, I think they got some studs on the outside. I like, obviously, I love Joe Burrow, and I think I trust the defense. The Ravens, maybe, but Lamar, I've seen Joe Burrow do it in playoff time, and Lamar, I've seen get banged up a lot towards the end. So, yeah, I think Pops, who would you put on the AFC to win the AFC if you had to?
Well, the Bengals are in last place in the AFC North as we speak. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, they're, but I'm still not worried about them.
Yeah. No, I think they're better than the Steelers and the Browns, not the Ravens. But so one team.
But if they played on a neutral field right now, I mean, would you take the Ravens for sure over the Bengals? I know you listen to Joe B.
I know. Yeah, that would be tough. That would be a great football game. I think those are them two and
the Chiefs.
Kansas City for sure. And I do think Buffalo will be in it at the end. I do.
Maybe.
Yeah.
They still don't have a running game. Year three of Josh Allen's the only thing that can, and maybe Leonard Fournette is that running game, but it's just like how many, and you know who they had a year ago? The guy who's number two in rushing yards on the season.
Yeah.
Moss was on the Bills at one point, and he looks like he's pretty good now, as Pops just alluded to. I don't know. I'm worried about the Bills.
Yeah. I think that's a fair concern.
To me, it comes down to defense right now because these offenses we all talk about, they're phenomenal offenses. Everyone has these kind of offensive weapons where they can score 30-plus points. But of all those teams we've talked about, Kansas City and Baltimore have probably the superior defenses because Buffalo's defense has just gone to hell in a handbasket. They've had some significant injuries now. They just can't defend. And so that's where I think Baltimore and Kansas City are there. And Baltimore can run the damn ball from anywhere, and I think that'll make the difference. I still think Baltimore is the winner.
Just because I know LJ will enjoy having a little victory lap on just – I think we cemented how bad Josh McDaniels is because the Raiders looked really good 1 week removed from Josh McDaniels. And I don't know if y'all saw the clip from the locker room. It just looks like I almost – wish I could experience how good life is post Josh McDaniels because, man, people just seem so happy. As soon as Josh McDaniels out of the building, they're smoking cigars. Everyone's celebrating. And a week ago, it looked like that was the worst job in America to be in that LA facility.
Yeah.
No, and I'm not even sure.
That. What is Josh McDaniels sitting there thinking when he's there in the locker room smoking cigars? I mean,
they haven't scored 20 points in a game all year. And in the first game post Josh McDaniels, they scored 30. And it's not like they brought in some offensive guy. Antonio Pierce is a middle linebacker. He just came in, and it's just more fun in that locker room, I think. And Josh McDaniels never should get a head coaching job again.
Never.
I don't think he will. I don't think that's going
to
be a problem.
He tricked the Broncos, and he should have never been able to trick another team. That's why LJ was so ecstatic when the Raiders hired Josh McDaniels. He's like, I've seen this. I've done this story. this is not good.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if I want anybody to experience it, let it be the Raiders.
Now, let's say this. The New York football Giants are probably now the worst team in football.
Oh, yeah.
Without Daniel Jones, without Tyrod Taylor, with Scooter Magoo or whoever it is back there quarterbacking.
It might be Matt Barkley this week.
They are bad. They're really bad. And so – which?
So you're saying start the Cowboys on fantasy, the Cowboys defense this week.
Yes. Yes, I am.
Do you know what that guess line real quick? Do y'all know the line in that game? Dallas and
16? Is it 16? 17?
16.
That is high.
It's a lot, but they could win 20 to nothing.
And I might take it. That might be in our parlay, honestly.
I'm showing it 17. I'm showing it on Bet Online at 17.
Wow.
I believe it. I believe it. Yeah. That was bad. So I will say this for bad games this week. So we've talked about it. We were in New Orleans this weekend. Watching the Saints and the Bears, which the Superdome is still one of the best places to watch a football game. It's really steep, but still, for as old as it is, it's still a great place to watch a football game. But man, the Bears fans, it wasn't like they were mad. It was like they were just dejected. You saw them around after the game because they were really excited. I think they thought they had a chance to win this ball game, and they ran the football really well. Tyler Badgett's not ready for prime time, but the fans, all they did was after the game, they had their heads hanging. They were shaking their head like, oh, we're just bad. We're bad from the offensive line to the quarterback to the coaches to the general. We're just bad. It was really sad to watch. They weren't like, "We'll get you next time," or "You won this one, you blew it." They were like, "No, we're bad." It was very dejecting.
I wish IT was here to check this out, but the turnover, the Bears had 5 turnovers.
Yeah.
The Saints had 0, and the Bears only lost by 7. So that that was a very winnable game. If you just even kind of take care of the ball. I'm not even saying take care of the ball completely, just kind of take care. Maybe 3 turnovers, and you might be able to win that game. But I guess, Tony, I guess Taysom Hill is just a red zone machine. He's going to find a way to score.
Good. Yeah, I have a lot more respect for Taysom Hill after seeing him in person than watching, because he is a man. I mean, he's a pretty strong individual. And I will say this, though. You watch them, and it really takes them out of rhythm when they're running them in and out, in and out. And it does make sense to me that they can do that and still be successful. And they, just, like you said, 5 turnovers and they only won by 7.
Yeah, that's
which is our Farley would say. Yeah, we needed them to win by 7.5.
Is it tougher to be a Bears fan or a Cowboys fan? Ooh.
Well, it.
Expectations are higher for a Cowboys fan.
Well, they are.
Maybe it's tougher being a Cowboys fan.
But the Bears haven't been good for a while, and it don't look like they're getting any closer.
Well, they still have the number 1 overall pick currently and a top 5 pick in their pick between the Panthers and Bears. And so you like to think that there is hope on the horizon, but Justin Fields, they rolled out again for Thursday night, so it'll be Tyler Badgett once again. Going up against the Panthers. I'll just say this. If you want to grab your significant other and do a movie night, some of the standalone games this week, not that good on primetime. Like Sunday, you can still red zone it up from noon till 6, but you got Bears-Panthers. I could catch the highlights, honestly. I don't know if I have to watch that
do
one.
Do y'all and happen then, to know who next Thursday night's game is?
Well, I was gonna we'll get there because okay. we're on a stretch of some bad primetime games. So we got Bears Panthers, and then Sunday night. You know, Pops, I'm just throwing this out there. Here's a word of advice: maybe cook the popcorn up and just you don't have to tell her who the game is, but maybe call Tammy over and go. You know what, Tammy? I'm footballed out. Do you want to watch a movie tonight? Because it's the Jets versus the Raiders.
At the Raiders,
you don't need to watch that one. Like honestly, it might be painful to watch it. So that I think. Win some points, grab your girl or whoever, and just go, hey, I don't even want to watch football. I'd rather spend time with you.
Yeah, that's a good idea, points. Kevin. I hope that she doesn't listen to this pod before that happens.
Can we not flex that game? Are we deflexing yet?
So they could. They could have flexed. They chose not to, and which is interesting. I don't know why they would. I have no idea. Because then Monday night, you got Broncos-Bills. I guess the Bills, but that's not just a great one. And then, Pops, who do we got next week?
So next Thursday night is Cincinnati at Baltimore. Wow.
So get your time.
Get your popcorn
now,
ready.
Get your popcorn and do your movie now because Thursday night you're going to want to watch Bengals Ravens. That's a good one.
No.
And then Eagles Chiefs is Monday night next week. So it gets better. It does get better, but this is the week if you're going to have to pick a week to maybe miss some of those primetime games and win a little brownie points. This is your going. Bill Simmons used to say, "Pops, I don't know if you remember him and Cousin Sal coined the Pumpkin Patch Sunday." There's always one Sunday in October where the games just aren't that great, and you just take one for the team and you go do the pumpkin patch with the wife. and this is the movie night week where you just do some movie nights, you know? Just
movie night, Sunday night.
Speaking of.
Do I wait to say that Sunday night or should I say that now? Should I just Sunday night just do like you said?
No,
say,
I think you do it that night and you just go.
I'm so tired. I'm tired of football.
Because she's just going to assume you want to watch football. Yeah. And you just go. Baby, I don't want to watch football tonight.
So just do it Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening.
Yeah. You just say, I'd rather, and she'll probably go, oh, is there no game tonight? You go, no, there is a game, but I'd rather do something with you tonight.
Here's the thing. Tammy knows enough about football. When she knows it's the Jets and the Raiders, she's going off. Yeah, right. Okay.
So let's understand.
That one's in my back pocket, so y'all should keep it.
Let's understand who's giving us this advice here, Liv.
Tony makes a good point.
You should always consider the source. Married. Yeah,
he ain't got to worry about what time he comes in Saturday night. He's just fine.
You don't know that, Tony. You don't know.
Player. let's look to the next week. So as we mentioned off the top, the parlay did not win you money. But as we mentioned, you don't have to win every week on the parlay for it to win you money in the end to get ROI. So this week we're back and we're better than ever. Uncle Tony, you got something for me? Who you like?
I'm taking those coming off the bye, the San Francisco 49ers. They are given 3 points at Jacksonville, but the coast-to-coast thing
Jags are road dogs. They're going coast-to-coast, 6-2.
Yeah, because since they're both coming off bye weeks, doesn't matter. It won't matter them coming across the country to go see the Jags. I like San Francisco here to lay the wood to the Jaguars, and they'll win by three.
Niners do need to get that. They get right. It's kind of a
– And they've got those two brand new rushers as well.
Yeah, right? Chase Young. I mean, that game's interesting to me. Because that's a game where the Jaguars can go – because, I mean, they're 6-2. They have some good wins. The Jaguars can really go, like, we're legit.
That's a new game,
That's 49ers. Niners only getting three. I do lean that way, Tony, because it's not even 3.5. They're not even giving you the hook right now, so you get the minus three. I can get behind it. Pops, what you got?
You know, I'm going to give some points this week, too. I'm going to give 7 points to the Houston Texans, and Cincinnati's going to beat them by more than 7. That's what I'm seeing. So I'm going to take Cincinnati minus 7 at Houston.
Pops saw he saw what CJ Stroud did last week and was like, I don't care.
He can't do that again. He ain't doing that again.
I want to look because one of the games I was thinking about, but again, before I crossed them off completely, but now they're crossed off, is I thought about the Falcons because the Falcons are only favored by 1.5 over the lowly Cardinals.
Kyler Murray's back this week.
I did see that he should be back. I was going to look. The Cardinals – last week. Now, they did play the Browns, who are a good defense.
Kyler Murray's back. Maybe I'll take Arizona.
Cardinals went – they had 48 total plays last week against the Browns. Their total yards, 58. 48 plays, 58 yards. That's impressively bad. They barely got a yard a play. That's something. But still, the Falcons are on my no-bet list. Actually, Cardinals are frisky. I would
with Kyler Murray coming back. I mean, he's for one game.
He's been practicing for 3 weeks. By the way,
is there a new Call of Duty out? Or I mean, there's not a new Call of Duty.
I think we're good. So interesting on that one is I'm very curious to see what the Cardinals do because the Cardinals do seem to be operating as a team who would prefer to not win another game and have the number one overall pick. So what do you tell Kyler's been very adamant like? I feel good. I'm ready to go. And he seems to want to play. So can you shut him down? But also, I think they need to figure out if you're going to have a high pick, you kind of need to figure out what you're doing with Kyler. Is Kyler your guy or are you going Caleb Williams or Drake May? So I'm very curious to see what they do with Kyler Murray because you either trade him this offseason or you don't take the quarterback really high and you're rolling with him. And I'll just say the GM and coach that are there now did not give him that extension, that big $200 million extension he got. So they might be willing to let it go. So I'm curious to see how they do that. But I'm going to stay away from that one just because I can't bet on the Cardinals and I will not bet on the Falcons. So I'm going to go. I know they're on the road. They're going over to the West Coast. But the Chargers have no home field advantage. Give me the Lions minus 3 on the road. Coming off a bye, Dan Campbell will have them right. I'll take the Lions minus 3.
And that's Tony, again. That's again the Seahawks? No.
Chargers. No, Chargers. Lions against the Chargers in LA.
Minus 3. Okay.
Minus 3.
All right.
And that's another one in general. That's a game I'd like to – that's the best 3 o'clock game you're going to get probably. Yeah, the Lions-Chargers, I would say.
Yeah.
So we got – are we looking at?
We're all getting Bengals this week.
I got a prestige.
You got prestige? Oh, we're all taking
if
favorites?
The three you've got now, San Francisco minus 3, Cincinnati minus 3, Detroit minus 3. So we got a road, a home, and a road.
Cincinnati's minus 7, by the way.
Minus 7, okay. Minus 7. So Prestige Worldwide is taking Cleveland plus 6.
Okay, there we go. There we go, Pops. Now we got a dog. I'm going to put 4 in because you got to have at least one dog in the parlay.
I am.
But
He's much better than I am. It's very hard for me to bet against Baltimore these days, but Cleveland they struggle against Cleveland. So
they do. Cleveland's really good against the Bengals and Ravens. It's actually been pretty profitable if you bet with Cleveland. They might not always win, but they keep those games very, very close. And those defenses do pretty well against him. Mm-hmm. So he's going, man, we just talked about how Ravens are great, and now I'm going to throw him. But I'm
but it's win by five.
Yeah.
The over-under is 38.5. I mean,
it's a really low. Right.
Yeah, and so usually that tends to be a closer game. You're not going to get a blowout. So I don't hate that line at all. I might honestly, I could throw that.
I mean, Deshaun Watson hadn't impressed anybody just.
He was a little better this past week. Yeah. The bar was set pretty low to be better. So it's not necessarily saying a lot for Deshaun.
I like it. I like what we got.
So we got Lions minus three on the road. We have 49ers minus three on the road to the Jags. Bengals minus seven at home against the Texans. And then we're going to get one dog in there. Browns plus six going into Baltimore. So I don't hate it. I think. People, we might have just gave you a winner. Right there. And this now we're back on the winning side. And we're gonna hit the end of the year hard. I mean, we're gonna be good, I think. I think we're getting hot right when you need to. So
to go.
Uncle Tony, you had I'm blanking on the name of it, but you were in NOLA this past weekend and you had one of your
Can you not blank on the name on that, dude?
It's just Vuka.
Vuka Ray.
Vuka Ray. Okay, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. For some reason, it didn't feel right.
The drink of the Just Press Play podcast.
I think it's the official drink of the Just Press Play podcast. I do think it is.
That's what I had last week. Not so, what I'm having this week.
But you did it. You had it on the pod, but then you also had one
at the Carousel Lounge,
At the Carousel Lounge. So I'm going to say this. I had two drinks at the Carousel Bar there in the Hotel Monteleone in the French Quarter in New Orleans, Louisiana. I had the Vuka Ray and I had a Sazerac. And I got to tell you that Uncle Tony makes a better Vuka Ray than the Carousel Bar does, but he does make a better Sazerac. That Sazerac was really good. That's one of the best drinks I've had in a long time. It was the right kind of whiskey. It had just a little bit of that herb saint in it, and the lemon just topped it off. It was good. So I'm telling you, that Sazerac, my recommendation for everyone, you go down to the Hotel Monteleone, get you a Sazerac. Don't get you one of those Midnight Madness things in a Miller Lite. Go for the Sazerac.
That's bad news.
But what are we drinking? What are we drinking tonight, Tom?
Tonight?
Now that we're back in Tsukasa.
So tonight I'm drinking the Old Pal. The Old Pal is a drink that's a takeoff on the Boulevardier. So the Old Pal has rye whiskey, Campari, and dry vermouth. But the Boulevardier has sweet vermouth. This has dry vermouth. So it's a dry, tart, very, very warming drink. And I'm drinking the Old Pal because I'm going to get to see my Old Pal, Prestige Worldwide this weekend coming up to the house. So thought I'd bring out the Old Pal here tonight. And then Kefis Winotefis is 60 years old, so another Old Pal. So here's to Old Pals tonight.
There we go. One thing Tony's going to do, he'll have a theme drink. That he will have a theme to it.
You know, it takes a long time to grow an Old Pal. You know what I'm saying?
That's true. That's very true. Lots of Old Pals. I got Lyft's an Old Pal, Kev's an Old Pal. We're all Old Pals here on the Just Play podcast.
All right, I think that does it for another week of the Just Press Play podcast. We'll be back next week to break down some more of the games and probably talk some drinks. Who knows? Who knows what we'll have for you next week? All right, guys.
Who knows?
Who knows? Peace out.
Peace.
The day is here already.
So, anyway, you met these guys. What was the deal?
Okay, so we're at the Hotel Monteleone, right? And so we're at the hotel, and so we were sitting in they've got these couches. We couldn't get at the Carousel Bar itself. It was full. We're sitting in these couches, and so there's four of us there, and we're ordering drinks. So we ordered Sazerac and a Vuka Ray and a couple of gin drinks, and we're sitting there, and we're having a good time. And then across the way, there are these three guys that just sat down, and they came in with Miller Lite cans in their hand. So they're sitting at this table in this fancy bar with Miller Lite cans.
In the Monteleone bar.
In the Monteleone bar. And they've got these Miller Lite cans. And it's like, I'm not sure they know where they're at. and they all had on trucker hats. Nice guys. I mean, but they were 28, 29 years old. And so we're watching them. Everything's fine. And then a waitress comes up, and she delivers three dirty martinis in the big martini glasses to these guys. And so we're sitting there watching them, and you can see them. This one guy who was ordering,
now you can join
he had his hat on backwards, and he was ordering. He was pretending like he knew what he was doing. And so he orders, and so these guys are drinking their Miller Lights while they're looking at the martini. And like, they're kind of turning their head side to side, looking like, what the hell is this? And so then they start to drink it. And you could tell, they're like, what the hell, right? Because they got two hands on it like this, and then, you know, they got their hand all the way around, like they're holding it like a handlebar, taking the martini glass up, and they really didn't like it. You could tell they didn't like it. So the next thing, you know, so we're doing the stuff. The next thing I look over, they've got three purple drinks in these real fancy glasses. And I was like, what the hell? And again, the one guy is laughing. He's just laughing as hard as he can. These guys are looking at it. They got these weird looks on their faces. And because you could tell, I think that everybody, they thought, well, man, they're going to think we're a couple or something. And so they were like, no. So finally, I go up to use the restroom. And one of those guys actually was on his way there too as well. And so we're in the restroom. Of course, you know me, I'll, you know, strike up the conversation. So I asked him, I said, hey, how was that martini? And he said, man, that was the first martini I think I've ever had. It was okay. And I said, well, what was that next purple drink? It was called Midnight Madness. And what was in it? He said, I don't know. It didn't taste very good. I said, well, what'd you order next? Man, that guy that we had, that our friend there, he said he knew New Orleans. He's going to order for us. Well, we told him we were done with that. We ordered tequila shots. And I went, attaboy. There's my man right there in the Hotel Monteleone drinking Miller Lite, taking tequila shots.
That's my kind of guy right there.
Sound like my kind of guy. 31 years ago.
31 years ago. That's exactly what I said, because 31 years ago, that's what we were doing. Hell no. Some tequila shots. How about some Jägermeister? We want to see the real deal.
Yeah, that's enough.
All right, we ready for a clap test.
There you go. We're ready.
We need to cut. I need to cut Tony off, or he says something.
Cut Tony off.
Recording.
Cut Uncle Tony.
On 0, 3, 2, 1, 0. Okay. This will probably be a little bit of a quicker one.
Rock it out. That's good news for me.
40 to 50. Something like that. 40, if we whatever. Do 40 minutes, that's fine.
Whatever you need, my man.
Yeah, I got right. Jed and Hank on their way, so yeah, rock it out.
Cool.